Yes, he did.
On Calvary to die. Oh, that same Son gave his life on old Golgotha. Oh, tell me who is on the Lord's side.
Amen.
Tonight.
Say it with all your heart. Oh, now who is on the Lord's side?
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, aren't you glad you can say you're on the Lord's side? Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. Sister Winters requests that we would remember her in prayer tonight. She had a sugar attack before service, unable to be here, so they're asking that we would remember her in prayer. Brother Tom Horniak requests prayer tonight for an unspoken need. The Lord knows all about what is committed unto God. Just pray that the Lord would work it all out. Brother Amos requests prayer for his ministering trip to South Africa for the next 2 weeks. Going to be leaving, I guess, tomorrow. So we certainly want to, the services will be beginning tomorrow. So let's pray that the Lord would be mindful and may he have also Brother David Siler in South Africa this time also. So let's pray that the Lord would be with our brothers as they minister there. Sister Linda Jablonski says to please remember my sister Mary Lee Price. Her mother passed away this morning. Also pray for my sister's soul. So let's remember those needs today or tonight as we pray. Brother Keith Phillips turns in an unspoken prayer request. We're just committed unto the Lord tonight. Continue to remember. Well, this is Sister Jan Winters. Now, I don't know if this is which one, the one I just read or this one, or the due to the same thing, but says, continue to remember Sister Jan Winters. She's still in the hospital, has an infection in her bronchial tubes, cannot have surgery until the infection is closed up. So we'll just commit that need. If both of those are they're the same Sister Jan Winters. So let's just remember that need tonight. Brother Terry Stockton has bronchial problems. Also Sister Jaretta has a pull muscle in her back. So let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Deanna Dixon, sick tonight, needs a touch from the Lord. Brother Chuck, took her to the emergency room. Her blood pressure is way too high, so they're asking that we would remember those folks tonight as we pray. We'll remember Sister Shirley Robbins for her back and also her legs. Just pray that the Lord would be mindful unto her. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, certainly want to continue to remember Sister Natalie Janssen prayer as she undergoes the treatments there in Illinois, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. All of our local folks that's got sickness and different kinds of needs in their lives. Well, we just know that we're serving a God that's all powerful and able to take care of every situation. You believe that with all your heart tonight? Brother Harry, can you sing that verse for us one more time of that song? Who is on the Lord's side? We may not make a great big splash in the water, but I'm going to tell you something. I want everybody in this world, And the devil being the first person in line to know this, that I believe what God has done in our day. I am a believer and I stand with what is being preached behind this sacred desk right here with all of my heart. How about you? I'm on the Lord's side tonight. Are you? Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Glory to your heart.
Now to God is granted all the praise and glory.
Oh, sing in our church.
For He gave His Son on Calvary to die.
Oh, yes, He did.
And that same Son gave His life on Golgotha. Oh, tell me who is on
yes, sir.
Your side tonight.
Sing about it now. Oh, tell me who is on the Lord's side among you. Who will help us join in the fight?
Who is on the Lord's side among you? Oh, who is on the side of the right?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. It's good to have the Lord among us. Yes. Praise the Lord. Just have a little correction to make on that request I wrote for prayer. Actually, my trip begins on Monday, and then we'll be ministering, Lord willing, for Brother Alray Robertson Wednesday evening, and then we'll be over there for some Easter services on a weekend, as well as ministering throughout the following week to the following Sunday, and then I'll be ministering in Johannesburg. And I certainly covet your prayers. We don't have a whole lot as far as ministry is concerned, but what we do have, we certainly want to allow the Lord to use fully. Give God full control if I can get myself out of the way. Certainly pray for me that the Lord will help me to deal with jet lag, tiredness, and all of that. But we're believing the Lord. Let's believe the Lord for these requests tonight. Believe that God will bless. And let's remember Brother Seiler. I believe I understand he's already over there ministering. And I haven't heard a report on Brother Darrell how he's doing, but I trust that he's doing better, but let's continue to pray for him as well tonight. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, it's a great honor and a privilege, Lord, that we can come before you tonight, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that we have such immediate access 24/7. And dear God, that Lord, we're so glad, dear Lord, we can have such a relationship with you and such a friendship, dear God, that Lord, we don't have to, you're not distant from us, Lord God. We've got confidence. We've got faith. Lord, you've given us that faith. You've given us that confidence, Lord. When we've known, Lord Jesus, that our Lord, our walk, Lord, before you, dear God, is what, Lord, we're pleasing you, Lord. And Lord God, we're so glad, dear God, that you certainly have done for us what you have done. Lord, tonight, we just want to bring these prayer requests before you, Lord. I think of Sister Winters, her wonderful song that she sung Wednesday night, dear God, and the blessing it was, dear God, to the folks, Lord, not only here, but around the world, dear God. There's people that even know her by name in foreign countries, as well as many of the other folks here at this church, dear God. Lord Jesus, we just pray, God, you would touch her and be with Brother Chuck, Lord, and his family, dear God. A loved one, dear God, that's needing a touch, dear God, from you. Lord, we know the enemy never sleeps, but we also know that you're never asleep. You're never too busy. And dear God, we bring these requests before you. Lord, we ask that you be with, Lord, these other requests that was mentioned tonight. Dear Lord, some of them unspoken, dear God. Lord, our dear sister still out in Illinois taking the treatments, dear God. God, we pray that you would encourage her heart, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit, dear God, would send your angels, dear God, to encourage her, Lord. Lord, at times it may seem discouraging and being that long a time away from husband and son, dear God. Lord, it's certainly trying, but dear God, sometimes those afflictions come that way. But Lord, we certainly promise to give us grace to bear these things. Lord God, we're committing this service into your hand, Lord. Lord God, I'm praying, Father God, for Brother Siler. Lord, you continue to use our brother as he's over there. Understand Brother Baker, Lord, in West Africa as well, dear God. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name that you go before us, Lord God. Realize that we've all got a part to play. It's a body move. And dear God, we pray, dear God, for our pastor tonight. Help him, dear Jesus, to get himself out of the way, Lord. Help us, Lord, to pull on that gift again tonight. Never taking one service for granted, because each service is unique when you're there, Father God. We come believing tonight. We lay aside ritual. We lay aside things, dear God, that are contrary to you. And we open our heart to your spirit tonight, that we may walk out of here a little bit closer to you, a little bit more mature, and to put into practice what we hear tonight when we go to our homes, when we drive down the road in our car, when we're out here doing whatever, dear God. And certainly, dear God, we are living epistles, read of all men. You're the only Bible that many people have is us. May the Lord bless you tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen, Brother Amos. Thank you, buddy. God bless you. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome each and every one of you. Glad to have you. Those that would be streaming tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let me make just a couple of three announcements while they're getting ready to receive the offering tonight. There will be no service here this coming Wednesday on April the 4th due to the buses loading the children all here for the Louisiana camp. So remember that. No service here this coming Wednesday evening. So remember that. If anyone has an extra copy of Family Altar Volume 1, please bring to the library for Brother Amos to take to South Africa. If you have a copy of that, spoken word book, I guess that's what that is. Brother Jim, is that right? Just a copy of that book? Is that a book we're talking about? All right, it's a book. If you have that Family Altar Volume 1, please bring it to the library so for Brother Amos to be able to take that to South Africa. Now, Brother Terry Horn says that he wants to welcome his daughter-in-law, his daughter Julie, and his two grandchildren, Marissa and Ethan, visiting tonight with us in the service. Where would those folks be? Right here. Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad to have you. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just glad to have each and every one of you here in the service tonight. May God richly bless you. Let's sing a song. We'll go right on into the service here just in a few minutes. How many of you feel like pressing on tonight? No quitting inside, is it? No giving up in your vocabulary, is it? It's pressing on all the time, right? Somebody say, I am pressing on. I will continue to press on. Giving up is not an option. You're not repeating with me. Giving up is not an option. Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Let's sing it, buddy. Press it on. We're gonna keep pressing on. Oh, we're gonna keep pressing on. We're gonna keep pressing on. Yes, sir.
Keep pressing on.
We've got to keep on pressing on.
We've got to keep pressing on. stop you.
Yes, he does.
Turn you aside. Say no need for you to go on. No need to try. Even if there is a rapture, you'll never make it in.
What are we going to tell him back?
You just say, Satan, I'll prove you a liar again.
Oh, we're going to keep pressing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Now, Brother Bill Yontz is here tonight, and he's been battling a cough for a good while, but I believe he's able to sing us a song tonight. I believe Brother Bill's got us a song. Then Brother Joel Brown has us a song. So, Brother Bill, come and give us a song tonight. How many appreciate Brother Bill being with us in this service tonight? Brother Joel, if you want to come on to the platform. Tell you what, the old booger man don't like these ministering brothers, but we're going to pray for them anyway, aren't we? God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Good to see you.
Well, you never know what a cough is until you've done it for 5 months without stopping. I only had 4 nights sleep in 5 months that I could say I laid down and went to sleep. But because of the prayers of God's people, I've been down to death's door. I know what it's like now. But Satan don't like me, and there ain't no love lost. And so I've got plans for him on a payback. And so I'm just glad I was able to be here, and I certainly like to say I appreciate all the prayers of you people, people everywhere that has got a hold of God for me. And that's the reason I'm standing here tonight. So this song, I sang it a lot. It's called He Rescued Me. You put in G or A, either one G, I guess. Kind of fits my situation tonight. Mm-hmm. On a stormy sea of sin, I was sinking. Yes, never to rise again. The winds and the waves round me crashing have battered and torn me within. I like his. And he rescued me. Jesus rescued me. The cold, dark water of sin's troubled sea, he rescued me. New life I now can see. Oh, Jesus reached down in love and he rescued me. Oh, I could feel death's arms around me as I struggled for my life. I could see his angels waiting just to claim me for his bride. But in that hour of desperation, yes, I almost lost my mind. But somehow I cried to Jesus, and he saved me just in time. And he rescued me. Jesus rescued me. the cold, dark waters of sin's troubled sea. He rescued me, new life I now can see. My Jesus reached down in love and he rescued me. How about sing that chorus with me? And he rescued me. Jesus rescued me. The cold, dark waters of sin's troubled sea, he rescued me. New life I now can see. All I like is my Jesus reached down in love. My Jesus reached down in love. Oh, my Jesus reached down in love. And he rescued me.
Amen. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
My. Just yesterday I was out mowing the yard, and that's one of my quiet times, I guess. I put my earplugs in and so drown out the noise of the mower and everything, but it just gives me time to think, I guess. And because with two kids, sometimes it's a little noisy. But just as I was pushing that old mower, the devil began to talk to me and come to me and say, why don't you just give up? I think many times we get trapped in our piety of who we are. And we forget the fact that we can go back to what we were. Hello. It's simple, church. But someone had asked me to sing a particular song, but this is just burning within me, I guess. And I just want to serve notice on the devil. God is real, and I am him. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade that darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. While pushing a little lawnmower, when Jesus comes, the darkness and doubt has to flee. He'll take the gloom and fill the life with glory and hallelujahs. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. From home and friends, the evil spirits drove him. Among the tombs, he dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demons' powers possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captive free. Some men today have found the Savior able. Listen. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. This is real, church. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelled himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory, glory, glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to say, this is what the Lord gave me. I too once knew this life without the Savior. I lived alone and oh so selfishly, bound by chains of worldly deeds and passions. Then Jesus came and said, my child, be free. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all fears are wiped away. He'll take the gloom. He'll take the gloom. He'll take the gloom. And fill the life with glories and hallelujahs. For all is changed.
Songs tonight, don't we? Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Let's sing a chorus as our pastor comes to bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you appreciate your pastor? How many of you going to pray for him? The Lord will bless him tonight. Give us hearts to receive. Then sings my soul.
My Savior God. Savior God to thee. Oh, how great he is. Now praise the Lord. Ever since I gave my heart to the Lord when I was a little boy, I heard people talk about how great God was. But most of the sermons and songs and things that I heard for most of the years of my life, so I came to the message, the way the greatness of God was expressed was how big the universe was, or how many stars there were, or the order of creation of botany life, animal life, and things like that. And that was my perception of greatness until I come to this great message. And then I realized there was a great big lot that was being missed by what I thought was great. So I found out that really how great it was expressed by how little it become. And then for us to become great, that's the only way we can be great either, is to be little in our own eyes. That's hard to do, too. That's right. Let's turn to the scripture tonight, if you would, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 19. I want to speak to you tonight from this thought. From the feet to the head. From the feet to the head. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Now we're talking about how great God is. Now listen how Paul says. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought. Not in the stars, not in the universe, but in Christ. But yet I wonder still, do we see the greatness of that power in Christ? Or does the humility of it still stumble us? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And that was great. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Amen. How great thou art. Amen. Now you see, it don't do the same for us. It don't do the same for us as even the words of that song. Oh Lord, my God, mine eye and awesome wonder. I look out to the stars and I see the universe. And we look around and see his body. We say, bunch of dirt bags. Bunch of old mortals just, you know, fall short of the glory of God. Bunch of people full of mistakes. That's all we see. But Paul saw something a lot different than that. And now remember, this is a man that dealt with all kinds of sin as far as things in the lives of the people. But he was able to supersede that part and go beyond that and see what God had done. Notice he says in verse 22 again, has put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Amen. Now listen to this. The fullness of him. You're kidding me. The fullness of him. Talking about how great he was and how powerful he was. And say that the church is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Notice this in Christ revealing his own word. Brother Bam says, all right, the entire Bible is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ making himself known to every age. He made himself known in the days of Luther as a foundation, the church, the foot, the legs. Now remember, this is not the initial building now of the mystical body, but this is after it went down into the dark ages and coming back up again. Like he did King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, what a peculiar comparison to make to the body of Nebuchadnezzar. Now watch. You remember how he dreamed those dreams and come from the head down? See? Now he comes from the feet up. Now you believe this or not, it's entirely up to you. I mean, you do whatever you want to with it. Yesterday, whenever I was studying, and I was looking at these things, and I had the scriptures and quotes, and I thought, Lord, give me a title. Give me something that I can title this so it'll go with, you know, with what I'm dealing. So I thought, well, this and that and the other, and then this come to me from the feet to the head. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of peculiar. I'm going to go ahead and just put it in there. So then I got to looking a little bit more, and I looked at a few more quotes and a few more. I worded it a little bit different. And then I found this quote here. Needless to say, I about had missed myself a genuine fit. I love it when the Lord does that. I mean, I just, you know what I'm saying. I love it when the Lord does that. Now notice he said he comes from the feet up. See, in the Babylonian kingdom, he showed all those Old Testament. Now watch. In the Babylonian kingdom, he showed all those Old Testaments, he come from the head down. Until he come down to God himself, become flesh at the foot of the ladder. Now here in the New Testament, he brings himself right back up again to the head again, the head of gold to be crowned. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word. Lord Jesus, may we not stumble in simplicity. May we not desire to look for things that humans call deep and profound and all of that sort of thing, and stumble right over a very blade of grass that we to this day can still not make. Lord Jesus, may you take your word tonight. Speak it to us, Father. Anoint our hearts. Help me, Lord, that I can be able to get out of the way and convey it to them, Lord, in a way that will be a blessing and a help to them. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Saints, you may be seated. From the feet to the head. We looked at the four kingdoms that God showed Nebuchadnezzar and also Daniel by vision, seeing how that God was portraying something that he was going to do. But yet there was also another element in that type. And it told a story, a greater story actually than the Gentile natural kingdoms. It told of the mystical body or the mystical kingdom. And as we looked at it last weekend, that God chose guards to guard his presence around his throne. Amen. And knowing then that God had this great plan of what he wanted to achieve and accomplish in his mind, and to see how that he would unfold it. It's a wonderful thing to know that God, we believe by grace, has included us in his program. Now, when God started showing Nebuchadnezzar these Gentile powers, he himself being the head of gold, and God started at the top and showed him the kingdoms coming down. Now, in that portrayal was not only the falling of the kingdoms as they would become weaker and weaker and become farther away from the image of the head of gold, but yet it was also laying in there the very mystery of God, that God himself would come this pass, that he would condescend, that he would come down and then start from the feet and come back up in the image. Now once Nebuchadnezzar and Alexander the Great and Ptolemy and all of these other world leaders and world powers,
once they came down as they condescend, they would never rise again. But yet God, once He descended, He must descend before He could ascend. So He must come down and then go to the lowest pits of hell and from there turn and start up. But the Gentile powers, they started up here. Nebuchadnezzar kept coming down, 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 and revealed in the metals, the symbols of metals, getting weaker and weaker, and they came down to the very bottom, and of course the stone would shoot out of the mountain and crush them into pieces, and they were destroyed. But yet God was also showing in that that He Himself was going to condescend. He was going to come down. And this is, of course, what makes it so hard for the carnal mind of man to comprehend that God could become so low. I mean, no matter how much we'd ever be able to read about the Bible and read in the message and be able to understand this and this and this, when it's all said and done, there's an element about God, an element about His creation, an element about predestination, about election, about prophets, about a church, about even going to church, that you and I must believe and accept by faith. Because there's certain things you cannot be able to explain every aspect about God. If you could, you would not need faith at all. All you need to do is put your finger on the scripture, the quote, and say, well, that explains it. I don't even need to believe it. But there's an element of every bit of that that we must believe by faith. Is that true? Now watch again as Paul, as he opens this up a little further in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. But now remember, Christ Himself did not come to the earth in the form of the head initially. But He comes to the earth in the form of the feet. And He starts out in a very low estate, in so much that He subjected Himself under the ministry of John the Baptist, subjected Himself under the womb of a woman to be born in a womb of a woman and made under the law. So He started from there and grew. Luke 2:52, the Bible says He grew in wisdom and stature before God and man. So here He's showing us in the order of the new kingdom that nobody starts at the top of the ladder and goes up. Even He Himself did not do that. So He started at the very bottom and He came on this earth, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, who He was before His pre-incarnation. He existed there as the Logos of God, but He separated Himself from that and come down and walked on this earth and lived on this earth as a man for 30 years without the Holy Ghost. Now I realize this is difficult for us to swallow, especially if you've had a Pentecostal background, but if you'll let Him condescend to that place, He will help you to be able to ascend where you need to ascend. If you don't get the condescension right, you'll not get the ascension correct. And this is why many people have ascended before they've condescended. But if you're going to get it right, you've got to realize you are nothing. I am nothing. We'll never be anything without His grace. So He started at the very bottom and even allowed the fullness of the Godhead bodily to come in Him. And this is when, of course, He was Emmanuel, Brother Bram said, when God was made flesh among us, when He became the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, notice this. Paul says that we might grow up into Him, which is the head. Chapter 5, verse 23. He said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Now, this is why the church, the bride, is a personal possession to the Lord Jesus. You have no choice of your own friend. You have, as I mentioned to you last week, it's not really your choice of where you go to church. You say, well, I want to go here. I'm going to go there. That's not even your choice. What you are in life. Well, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. That's not your choice. You should go to Him who owns you and say, what do you want me to be? That's exactly right. Now you look at a preacher and you think, when God called me, Brother Bill, Brother Terry, these other brothers here to preach, God never asked me if I wanted to. God never said, you know what? I was thinking about calling you to preach. What do you think about it? What do you think? You think it'd be something you'd like to do? Of course, I told Him no. And even when He called me, then there was five aspects that He could have called me into, and He never even asked me which one of them I wanted. Amen. Now you tell me that's fair, I tell you that's God. So if he didn't give me a choice, who do you think you are that you think you got a choice? If you really belong to him, then our life is not our own. We belong to the presence of God. So he is the savior of the body. Now notice, the body is the mystical, invisible thing that we're baptized into. Individually we're baptized, but collectively into this mystical union. And he is the savior, as Paul says, of the body. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17. He says he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now notice his position. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now notice this. He doesn't just want it in Happy Valley as far as coming here as an assembly. He doesn't just want it in Brother Bill's church as an assembly, every other Methodist church as an assembly. He wants to have the preeminent spot in your life as an individual. He wants to have it in your home. He wants to have it in your business. He wants to have it in every aspect of your life. This is what Jesus desires. But now, no matter how much he wants it, he will not take it away from you. You must give this to him. He desires the preeminence, but Jesus is not a dictator. Jesus is not a Stalin. He's not a Hitler. He's not a Mussolini. He will not come into the kingdoms of your heart. He will not knock out every rule of your life, but he will set himself before you and give you the opportunity. Choose me if you want to live. Choose me if you want life. Choose me if you want my word. But he will not make you do it. Come on now. There's many, many Christians, friend, around this message that love God. And many of them, no doubt, but will be saved. But they have never let Jesus have the first place in their life. Mama's got it. Daddy's got it. This one's got it. Somebody else has got it. He didn't die so Brother Donnie could have the preeminence in your life. He didn't die on the cross so Brother Donnie could be the preeminent one of Happy Valley. He died so he could have the preeminence of our church. Notice, as Paul said, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, how many things? In all things, he might have the preeminence. Look at this word, what it means. To be first. Hold the first place. I wonder how it makes him feel then when message folks make Brother Branham preeminent one. Wonder how it makes him feel when people preach Brother Branham more than they preach Jesus. And they mention Brother Branham more than they mention the Lord Jesus. I wonder how that makes Jesus feel. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. He did not die so Brother Branham could have preeminence. He did not die so your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister. But he died so that he might have the right to purchase the first place in your life. But he condescended to such a low place first, and by that condescension, then God raised him so high, Spirit God, invisible God, raised him so high that Brother Ben said he has to look down to see heaven. That's pretty high. Now notice this in the masterpiece. He said every masterpiece is put on a foundation, a sculpture. Angelo's monument of Moses is on a 4-foot piece of marble. It's got a foundation. So God, in preparing this masterpiece, put it on a foundation of the patriarchs. Now watch God. Now the head of gold started up here and come down, so there's no foundation. What kind of building would it be if we started up here and built this way? It's not going to last. But God does not start this way and start building. Now he can condescend from this way, but he never started building up this way. He condescends down through the body of the prophets and the prophecies of the Old Testament. But when he lays the foundation, he will start with that word made flesh in the Lord Jesus. Now notice, whenever he starts working on this dispensation, building a mystical body, he will lay it upon four foundations. Notice this, he says, he laid it upon the patriarchs, the patriarch Abraham first, Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, then Joseph, the four corners. Now Abraham was the foundation of faith. Let's say it had four foundations. The foundation of faith was Abraham. Now notice what God is doing. God, he is starting to build something in the Old Testament under the dispensation before God ever gave the law to Moses. So he's going to lay out four foundations. That won't be 1, 2, 3, 4. It will be 1, 2, 3, 4. They will be stacked one upon the other. Now Abraham will be the big, wide, broad foundation on the bottom, and God will minister according to the foundation, according to the main main characteristic of the way he will deal with this man's life. He will not only deal with that man, but he will deal with the tribes that will be called thereafter. And since he is the father of the faithful, he will also implant in that type what the bride will need down through every age, or the elect, and they will need these great characteristics in the foundations of the body. Now watch this. He said the foundation of love was Isaac. The foundation of grace was Jacob. God's grace to Jacob. Anyone knows that. But in Joseph was perfection. Now this ain't Joseph Branham. Nor is it Joseph Coleman. Now that's what the 700 people want to believe. The Joseph followers want to think it's Joseph Branham. Brother Branham never said Joseph Coleman or Joseph Branham. He's talking about Joseph of the Old Testament. Now get quiet on me, blow up like a bullfrog eating buckshot, do whatever you want to do, that's the truth. Joseph Branham wasn't even alive, Joseph Coleman wasn't even alive, none of the rest of Josephs that want to try to claim this quote as their own, they're liars. And they're misapplying the word. This applies to Joseph of the Old Testament, that's where it applies, that's where we're going to leave it at this church. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now God lays the foundation. What's he doing? In the Old Testament type, he's starting to build a mystical body. He's going to build it out of types and shadows and prophecies. Some of it will be written in the lives of people. Some of it will actually be written down in the Word. But he's building a mystical something. Now because it is mystical, people will look right at it and some of them will never see it. Because he's not building like a frame house or a block building to where the natural, tangible mind can comprehend it, but part of it will be hid in shadows. Part of it will be hid in types. Part of it will be written in the lives of individuals, and they'll never stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord, I'm acting out Christ." They'll just go on living their normal everyday life, but God will here hide the mystery of Christ in that individual's life. Oh, praise the Lord. And many of you wonder, you say, "Oh God, what have I ever done for you? What have I ever done?" If God can take this word and live it out of your life, don't you understand what you are? Then you're that very mystery of God living out an everyday normal life. You're wanting to be some great singer, some great preacher, and you're saying, "Well, I ain't never done nothing for God." If you're living that word, you're doing great things for God. Now what? So he lays the four foundations. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now he doesn't start at the top and work down, but he starts at the very bottom and he's laying on. Now notice he says, there is where he could set the monument. Not upon the first foundation. So the body of the prophets cannot fit upon Abraham. Neither can they fit on Isaac. Neither can they fit on Jacob. They must fit on Joseph. Perfection. Now watch, God takes this in stages. Each one of these men have a great position in God. But they vary as much as they can vary one from the other. God deals with Abraham, man, he's a mighty man. And what did Isaac do? What great things did Isaac do? But Isaac was necessary to be the son of Abraham and the father of Jacob. But what great things did Isaac do? Well, one thing, he married Rebecca. He was the type of Christ. But yet, did he ever stand up and do the things Abraham did? No! Is there very much written about it? You ever wonder why Hollywood don't make a film about Isaac? Why have they made one about Abraham? Ted Turner, this one made one about Abraham. This one made one about Abraham. This one made one about Joseph. That one made one about Joseph. This one made one about Jacob. That one made about Jacob. How come nobody makes one about Isaac? It wouldn't be about an advertisement long. Said, "We're going to show you the life of Joseph." Said, don't go up and get a cup of coffee because you'll miss it. It's only 10 minutes long. That's it. That's all the information we got. And some of you say, "Oh my, what'll be said about me whenever if I die and they preach my funeral? Oh my, you want some great 7-hour sermon?" God didn't make all of us 7-hour sermon Christians. But let me tell you something, you're important in the body. All preachers are not going to have great results while they go around the world and do this and that. But brother, I'll tell you one thing. If God places a man in the body, he's important. Whether he preaches to 5 or 5,000, he's important. So God lays this great, gigantic, this big face foundation. And he takes and lays this little teeny
foundation of love on top of that. Calls him Isaac. Amen. Then he lays this other foundation. Big old thick man. Grace. Boy, God knows we all need a big foundation on that. It's amazing though, we want a big foundation of receiving, but we want a little foundation when it comes to giving it out. My, some of y'all want a foundation about 14 times as big as this building right here when it comes to receiving grace. Then you want one about like that to give it out. My, if you need one that big, what do you reckon you got it for? Just so you can set on it and polish it? Maybe it's to help you understand why others need one. Oh, come on, don't get quiet. Now what's God doing? So he lays Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Now he said the bodywork to come on to this great masterpiece was the prophets, which was the word. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Then God started with the feet, the toes, the ankles, the legs. Kept building, building, building. Amen. Now it might go hundreds of years from the time he put the toe on the foundation till he come up to the ankle. Then he might go another hundreds of years from the ankle to the knee. And another 500 years or whatever more from the knee on up. But what's God doing? Building by the word. Now he cannot take the tribes and build the body. He must build it by the word which come to the prophets. So God does not take the tribes. Glory. He does not take the judges of the Old Testament. He does not take the kings. He takes the word. The prophets. Now watch. He says, see the prophets, not the laws. The prophets. For the prophets was the vindicated word. Which makes the body, not the patriarchs. So Abraham was not the foot. Jacob was not the knee. Isaac was not the loins. They were the foundation. But the prophets were the body. Now watch what God is making. Now in this imagery in his mind, this was not an image now like the golden head and the silver and the brass and the iron and clay, but it was a mystical image in the mind of the Creator. He's not saying this in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to build an image. I'm going to build a man. I'm going to build Abraham. And I say, he don't say it that way. He just puts it all out there and starts putting it together. And people just kind of sitting there looking. I said, what's he doing? I don't understand. What's he doing? Now watch. So he lays it. He adds. Now he said, finally, he started back in the days of Moses. Come down through the prophets to each one, building up the body, coming closer all the time. And then finally, the great head, the head of it. The rest of the body just spoke of it. Now watch this. If God mirrors something from the Old Testament, and you find something that God does, he's unchanging in his nature. So if he's building a body in the Old Testament, hallelujah, I'm convinced he's going to have one in the new to match it. If he built one under the Old Covenant, oh my, how much greater will it be under the new? Now notice he don't start here and start coming down, but he starts here and works his way up. Now he says the foundation was laid by the patriarchs, but the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head. Jesus came on the scene there. When this headpiece was put upon it, we find in him the entire handiwork of God. We find in him the perfect reflection of the word, for he was the word, the fullness of the word. Now again, God has the perfect masterpiece again. All the prophets had flaws. All those ones was a portion. But here at last, coming up through that, finally comes the masterpiece. So the foundation of faith had a flaw. The foundation of love had a flaw. The foundation of grace had a flaw. Come on, church. The foundation of Joseph had a flaw. It wasn't near as big, but it was a scratch. Then God set the prophets up on top of it. Moses climbed up on top of the foundation and set his feet down. And he looked around and said, uh-oh, I got flaws. Here come Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hezekiah, Zach, all the prophets, and they come. Every one of them falls. And then God brought the head with no flaws. Absolute perfection. How in the world would you ever set an unflawed head down on a flawed body? Will not it rim the whole thing? Not if the head's more powerful. If the head's more powerful, it will be able to totally transform the entire body and make the body a perfect work of God. Can't you understand how people behind us in the Reformation could smoke a pipe and loose in them could drink beer? You say, how in the world could they be included in the rapture? Because the head will be set down on the body. And it'll run the cycle of perfection through the entire body. Glory to God. Don't you try to do that today. You won't get by with it. Because you're living in the age of maturity. But they will. They will come up from their friends. My, they will be raised in the power of the resurrection. When? When the headstone sets down upon this body. Now watch. Paragraph 70 of the masterpiece. All the prophets had flaws. Does that mean all Happy Valley's got them too? All preachers in the message has got them. Well, I won't tell you they got them, but I'll tell you for them. All song leaders, all deacons, all trustees. All them holier than thou's around the message. They got them too. Oh my. Now watch, something must happen. So the masterpiece, the perfect one, no fault in him at all, so perfect, reflected of the builder himself, his own image, was reflected in his work. So the head comes down. God brings down that head and sets it down on the body. And locks Malachi and Zephaniah and Haggai, all that body, locks the whole thing together. And yet, from there down, there was all flawed. Until the head sat on it. Notice this, God and Christ were one in so much until he put his own spirit in him. Then even the image and the builder became one. God and his sculpture work, his masterpiece, not just God in the head. Not just God and the head, but because that perfect head sat down on that flawed body, they were pointing to a time of perfection. And when that perfect head sat on that flawed body, it changed the entire work of it. Then that entire thing becomes the identification of the masterwork of the great master himself. Teach yourself, we'll see why there must be a church in this last day that'll raise up Pentecost and Wesley and Luther and all of them. How in the world could they go in the rapture when all they knew was just the just shall live by faith? They didn't have the Holy Ghost in the portion you got it. Sanctification under Wesley, they didn't have it the way you got it. How in the world could their message bring them out? It cannot by itself. But when this church, this bride in the end time, reaches that stage, what will it do? The headstone setting down on the body, it brings the rest of the body out of the ground. That's why they without us are not made perfect. Lord Jesus. Notice where Moses, the work of St. Angelo, or Michelangelo rather, a sculptural work that was dead because it had been made out of stone. But here the master builder, when he got his handiwork perfected, he stepped into it. Not only did God step into Jesus, but God stepped into the entire handiwork of the body of the Old Testament. If not, you tell me, how could they go in the resurrection and stand on the outside of them gates and say, open up your everlasting gates and be ye lifted up? And the voice on the inside said, hey, who's coming in? He said, the King of Glory. Tell me how Abraham could tell an angel that had never said, open up them gates, we're coming through this morning. Because the head sat down, that's why. Now watch, when he comes and reveals himself, he holds part of the revelation of his person till after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Now it's part of his mystery that he desires. That's not a complicated friend. I don't think I'm trying to, you know, preach something deep and over the top of your head, some great big complicated thing. It's not complicated. God's revealing simplicity. That's the way I love it. I love it when an anointed man of God takes a mystery and makes something simple out of it, instead of takes a mystery and makes it more serious. That confuses me. A preacher that's supposed to have the ability to break the word down and take a mystery, and I'm more confused when he got done than when he first started. Come on, don't get quiet on me. Glory. So when he reveals himself now to John on the Isle of Patmos, John sees him revealed in a sevenfold way. Now we've looked at this before, and I don't want to look at all seven of them, but what I want to look at just for a moment is one of the fold of the persons of God. In the Patmos vision, he says, watch this sevenfold personage now of his person. And you'll see what he did. His head white as snow, like wool, white hair. His eyes, let's see, his head white as snow, his eyes flame of fire. His feet fine brass, as burnt into a furnace. Watch now, we just noticed he's covered, you know, how? Watch his head, his eyes, and now he goes down to the feet like brass. What's the contrast to the image there that John saw of Jesus and what Daniel saw of the world empire, the head of gold? Now watch these parallels, how that when Daniel sees one image, but John is seeing the image of something else. The world powers will lead to the mark of the beast. This image leads to the seal of God. Mark of the beast seals you out. The seal of God seals you in. We follow the Gentile powers, we'll be destroyed. We follow this power, we'll never die. Glory. Notice he says, it shows his full purpose in coming here on earth. Now watch, his sevenfold personage revealed in the book of Revelation after his resurrection shows his full purpose of coming on earth. Well, let me tell you something, friend. If it shows the full purpose of God, I'd like to know what it is. If it shows me the full purpose why he came to this earth, I want to know it. Anybody besides me want to know? The rest of you can go on to Dairy Queen. Now, watch this. It shows his full purpose in coming on earth as God to be made flesh. And he died for us and took the judgments of God. The divine judgment, and received the kingdom that's brass and solid, and it cannot be moved. Now watch him here. He stands. What fold is John seeing him? He is not now the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is not now coming for his queen. He's standing there in the sevenfold personage of God, reflecting the very reason he came to the earth. Why? High priest. High priest. Glory. Now the image of gold and silver and brass and all that in the Old Testament, it was not a high priest. It was idolatry. But when John sees this, notice he does not see gold. He does not see silver, but he sees brass. What's he speaking of? Brass is divine judgment. So here he's still in the office of divine judgment, taking upon himself what is rightfully and duly given to us, which means he's our mediator. Oh man, notice. He said, then the voice. Oh, listen to this. Paragraph 203 is hair like wool. His eyes, flame of fire, his feet like brass, burned in a furnace. And his voice, the sound of many waters. Voice of many waters. What is his voice? It's the judgment. Now, friends, you think it ain't serious about coming to church and listening to preachers? I want you to read this quote. the voice of Brother Branham? Can't you see when people emphasize the tapes only, they are adding to what the prophet of God, they say they believe. Brother Branham never said minister. He never said the last prophet. He said ministers. The voice of the ministers through the Holy Spirit that's crying out to the people in every age. Standing there. This is the fold of the personage of God. The voice of many waters. When John sees him and his eyes and his hair and brass, and then John hears all the like the cataracts of water. And yet the mystery of that was, it was not the ocean. It was not the rivers. It was not the seas. John heard me preaching to you tonight. John heard you preaching. John heard you brothers preaching. John heard the voice of many waters. And Jesus chose this, Brother Amos, as one of the folds of his person under the dispensation of high priest. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh my, the voice of many waters cried out. Thickness and multitudes of voice. Now notice. The voice of the seven stars in his right hand to every church age, preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism in Jesus' name, speaking in tongues. Oh, Lord, we don't want to preach that in the message. The power of God, the resurrection of Christ, the second coming, divine judgment. Now, where's tent, Perusia, Joseph, return ministry? Isn't it amazing that Brother Ben don't mention those things? Well, glory. You shouldn't say that. I should say it. You say, why don't you leave them poor people alone? And let them go to hell? You tell me this. How can a person believe in the return ministry and looking for a tent and believe Jesus could come before this service is over? It is totally impossible. There's no way you can look for Jesus to come in the morning and look for Brother Branham to come back and go here and go there and do this and do that and do something else. You cannot preach the coming of the Lord Jesus the way the Bible preaches it, nor the way Brother Branham preached it, and believe that at the same time. It's impossible. And you tell me it don't need to be struck against. Don't you see what that does to people? It rocks them to sleep. They do not live as if though he could come tomorrow. They cannot, because they don't believe he can come tomorrow. The voice of many waters coming forth from this one that looked like the Son of Man. So the true anointed ministers were in his mouth. Not just the seven, Brother Bill. Not just the seven church age messengers. The real men of God. When Jesus spoke, he heard all these thousands of preachers. John heard them coming out as a mouth of Jesus. Now those of you that have ever stood by a stream, whether it's a creek or a river or whatever more, you know yourself that whenever you stand there or you sit there, I love the sound myself, I've always loved it as a kid, and you sit there and you look at that and you watch how the different ripples of the water, and they're caused by a limb that's in the water or a rock that's in the water, and according to the height of that rock, you know the way they'll do, whenever it falls off, me myself building waterfalls, and I'll study how to make it, I've got several there at my house, so I study how to make it and what kind of a drop to make and how far to let it drop. From the last rock till it hits the water. All that has a variable. And it will determine how it sounds. And you imagine as John heard prophets. And he heard pastors. And he heard teachers. And he heard evangelists. And he heard apostles. And he hears all these voices. All these rocks. Oh glory. All these rocks are laying in the river of life. And the water of the Holy Ghost is pouring down a pastor. And he kind of bloop, 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 bloop. And it goes over an evangelist. He screams to the top of his voice. And gets real excited and real loud. And everybody screams. And a teacher stands there, more scholarly, but all of them blended together over this rock, over that rock, down through this rock. And when Jesus opened his mouth, that was the voice of the ministers. Hallelujah! Why, here he is with the judgment on him. Not an image of gold, not an image of silver, but brass. 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 Don't you see, friends, preachers that don't preach the judgment of God, they do not preach the impending judgment on this nation. All they want to preach is a gold message and a silver message. Television, radio, newspapers, internet sites, it's full of them. Send your $5. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. How can you expect to be blessed? Sow a seed. Sow a seed of $100. Sow a seed of $20. I wonder what they do if you send them pumpkin seeds. Is that doing what you said? I sow a seed. Here's some pumpkins for your garden. But them preachers are gold preachers, silver preachers, money preachers. Amen. Come on, church, don't get quiet on me. And it ain't just limited out there in the denominations neither. Amen. Brother David Siler told me not long ago, he said, whenever I preach about going to doctors and this and that and the other, he said, I've heard different preachers preach before about going to doctors. He said, but all them that I heard preach it always had a product they wanted to sell me. Of course, they're at the top of the pyramid and everybody works under them. I ain't got nothing to sell. What I got, I give away. Oh, glory. But I want to tell you one thing. It cost my Lord a great price for you and I to have it. My Brother Ben says, what would it be for you that have sat in meetings and heard that you should get right with God and receive the Holy Ghost? And a drifting soul to hear that voice speak out at that meeting. And you sat in and heard the judgments of God preached. And refused it. That great falls just below you. The great cataracts that'll take you to your eternal doom. Voice of many waters. Force, personage of Him. Voice, oh God, of many waters. How are you going to do it when it's recorded in glory? When the voice tonight is recorded and your voice is recorded, your thoughts are recorded. So here when John sees him now, after his resurrection, something is happening on the earth and something is happening in heaven. And it must be synchronized according to what's going on in both places, you see. So if Jesus would have had a crown of gold on his head, it would have meant the rapture had already took place and the ages were over. When we meet him at the marriage supper, he's not going to walk out with eyes like brass. His feet ain't going to look like brass. Glory. Them days will be over. Right? Now, as God built Jesus in the Old Testament, so has Jesus built his bride in the new. Now what's this? We've read this several times, but the Old Testament, the church was called the kingdom of God. In other words, God is the king and the church is his domain, God's kingdom, the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's called the Messianic Empire. Oh, I like that. Messianic, in other words, the Messiah's empire, where the Messiah rules and reigns. Now look at this in 1962. Some of the Pentecostal people today don't even count Martin Luther in them because they say he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He did. He might not have it in the depths that we got it now, but it wasn't for that time. Why would God ever allow the church, the New Testament church, the fall of the second Eve, of course recorded in the book of Acts, why would God ever allow it to be thus? Because the type had to live out to be the same. The first Adam fell and there must come one back. The one must come in Eve also, which will be sown down. And she must come back down through seven ages. Because the book of redemption, the mysterious book of God, did not just have one church age in it. It was divided in seven different increments or in seven ages. And instead of being one age to where God said, well, I'll redeem all of my elect in the Ephesian age, God spoke it out and dispersed it down through seven ages. And he said, I'll let it go this way. And then I'll let the body go down in a time of darkness, but I will restore, saith the Lord. Now watch, he says, Wesley and those brothers, it was a body growing from the feet. Oh. going from the feet coming up. It becomes more important parts of the body. Now I know the scripture says how beautiful are the feet of preachers, but I'll tell you, I just don't understand that quite. I've seen a lot of preachers' feet, and I've yet to this day to ever seen a pretty one. So it means more, of course, than looks. But which would you rather people see, your face or your foot? Are you known by your foot or your face? Some of you husbands probably wouldn't even know your wife's foot if it was compared and sitting beside another woman's foot, unless she would have a scar or something really unusual. Because feet, we just don't, you know, well, my, how wonderful. I mean, I know some of you sisters go and do them pedicures or whatever you call them things. They rub around and massage on them, make you feel like you're a queen for an hour or so. But whenever it hits the dirt again, sis, you still change them diapers and make that gravy and biscuits. You're still just an old commoner like all the rest of us. But yet there's something about that. You know that if you're going to show any part of your body, which one of you would choose your feet? More than likely, none of you. You spend near as much time on your feet as you do on your face. Praise the Lord. Because we are known by face, which is the praise, of course, the Old Testament word for presence is face, ponia. So God shows also His face in order to reveal Himself to us, not His feet. So the feet certainly was an important part. But as the body kept building, the parts become more important. I like my feet, always have. I've always felt sorry for folks that was crippled in their feet. Well, that's you. Folks who cannot walk. Brother Tim Pruitt, my dear brother. I've always, you know, had just such a soft spot since I first met him and my heart for him. And his little old feet and having that whenever he was a child and being operated on. And my, you know, I just think, the type of person I am that would kill me to go that way. God knows who to let go through what. But yet when it comes to building higher and higher and higher, if you had perfect feet, and no reproductive ability. Feet cannot reproduce more feet. If you had perfect feet and your toes were exactly right and all the right size that they're supposed to be, whatever that is, and they're all the right color and all my, myself, I've always been a tenderfoot. If I get without shoes, I do good to go to the bathroom. That's about as far as I can go. Some of the rest of you, my, your old feet's hard and callous like an old rock. You get up and go down the creek bank. Well, that's not me. I'm a different guy. I got to have shoes on. I figure that's why God made them. But yet, I'm glad for my feet, so I want to take care of them. You bag yours up if you want to. I'm going to put shoes on mine. But yet, I'm grateful for my feet. But that's not the most important part of my body. And God started in the Reformation setting the feet of Luther. Down right in the middle of that whore church. And said, the just shall live by faith. Glory! Now watch this. It was a body. From the feet coming up, more important parts of the body. From the feet to the lungs, to the heart, to the head. Who is the head? Who is the head? Christ. That's the intelligence. How does the body move? By the head. Now if you had a complete body, but no brain, could the feet tell you what to do? My toes have no eyes. I don't know about yours, but mine have no eyes. They have no fingers to be able to reach. They're in a good spot when you look at them. God made them and put them exactly where they're supposed to be. Out in the very bottom. Thank God for them. But notice the parts. As they come higher in the body, they're becoming more important. It builds. It builds. It builds. It builds. Till it comes up to here. And then you come to the eyes. And there's nothing that moves from here up. You can take your arms, diaphragm, shoulders, back, legs, feet. But from here up, nothing moves. From there up, you have the intelligence. Now from here back down to the bottom of the base of your skull, set your brain, protect it inside of your skull. From there is what controls your movements, your motor skills, all of that. Your nerve endings, your muscles, all it runs from there. But here is the control part. Now that's the natural anatomy. But there is another part that lives on the inside that tells this part who you are. Now watch, he says, the intelligence, oh my, how does it move? By the head. And the government shall be upon what? The audience replies, his shoulders. What is his shoulders? His body. There's where the real true church speaks in his power. There's where the apostolic power returns to the church. When the government shall be upon his shoulders, judgment. There's coming a real church, I believe, trying to do my part to present it. He done a great job, didn't he? Notice again, when the headstone comes, there will be a church here on earth to receive it. Look at the Old Testament, the patriarchs, the building of the body of the prophets. But there it said, a headless, lifeless image. You know, years ago, under the dominion of the Roman emperors, when they first started out, the emperors were able to rule for many years. They got to where they're so sorry and so many people killing them, they had to kind of renovate the way they went about doing things. Initially, every emperor would have his own statues from the feet up. Now, whether it was standing or sitting, he would have a brand new statue. But they started killing them so often, and the generals killing them and killing them one another, and sons killing daddies. So they got to where they just cut the head off that old boy, that marble head, and stick another on it. Now, I've been to Rome, and I've seen this myself. So instead of making the whole thing over, it's just a lot easier to set a new denomination. I mean, set a new head just right down on. Can't you see that same thing has happened in this message? Can't you see why revival so-called have arrived and this man's raised up and this one raised up over here and this one raised up over there? What's it done? Just took that old head off the bride body and put that on it. Took that and I'll put another on. Boy, this is the man now. And that's the man. I don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have said unto the man of the hour. And they're every one different. Some of them was black, some of them red, some of them yellow, some of them pink, some of them, you know what color they were. But they was just there because they was the man. And all what we do in the message, we just change heads. Oh my, this guy, oh glory to God, this is the man right here, he's the man. And then we say, oh man, that ain't the man. I thought he was the man, but I guess he's not the man. But I found the man now. I know who the man is now. Yes, sir, I know the man is. So we put another head on the wall. Then we get tired of him, then we keep on changing heads. Why don't you leave that head alone? You ain't got no right to put no head on this body. The headship belongs to Jesus. So what does God do in the Old Testament? Sets the head on this lifeless image of the law. The judgment of God. The prophets. The justice of God. God sets the head on this Old Testament body. And all of a sudden, it becomes in the person of grace. And now the body changes. In so much that it was included in his resurrection. Watch this. Brother Ben says, when the headstone comes, there'll be a church on earth. Don't you see, friend? There must be a bride. We must have the right mechanic. We said, what difference does it make what you believe? Do you honestly think Jesus is going to sit down on false doctrine? Now, it's one thing to believe something wrong and you're sincere and you don't know the difference. It's another thing to be under the spirit of error. No doubt there's things right here tonight that we believe is wrong. We don't know no different. But if you're under the spirit of error, somebody can show you where you're wrong and you still won't change. That cannot go in the rapture. Totally disallowed. How can the Spirit of God cap off the spirit of error? So there will be a body on the earth around the world, glory, waiting for what? Rapturing grace. And Jesus the head will come down and set on what? The makings of a body. Nebuchadnezzar set on these Gentile powers and they destroyed and raped and mutilated. And Jesus will set on this last day bride. And when he does, she will go into the momentum or the movement of the resurrection. She will not annihilate, she will not destroy, she will not kill. But she will call from the dead. Notice this, when the headstone comes, there will be a church on earth to receive it. And it'll have a ministry. Uh-oh. It'll have a ministry exactly like his. It'll go right in there, bringing up the feet, Luther, and all the rest of them for the resurrection. Now notice the image of Daniel went down, 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 and was destroyed. Luther went down, Wesley went down, Pentecost went down, but you can't destroy life. Amen. Jesus himself is the interpretation of the Bible when he's made manifest in the age that that part of his body is being made manifest. Now watch, Jesus and Paul, Jesus in the days of Irenaeus and Jesus and all that. But where is Jesus now? Now watch, Jesus is the interpretation of the Bible when he's manifest in the age that that part of his body is being manifest. So what part of the body is being made manifest now? When Brother Branham was here, friend, let's face it. A lot of the emphasis was on who? Brother Adam. Malachi 4, God sent a prophet, signs, wonders. But that's not the emphasis now. John the Baptist was a great shining light, Jesus said. But he wasn't when Jesus came. Hold on. Jesus was the light when he was here. But the apostles become the light when Jesus left. Glory. Hold on to your false teeth. Brother Branham was the light when he was here, but he ain't here no more. Now I am. You are, Brother Jim. You are, Sister Linda. You are, Brother Jack. You are, Carol. Now the light is where the word is made manifest. And it's Jesus in that part of his body. Let me close. If it's a hand age, it must be a hand. It can't be a head age. If it's a voice age, well, it can't be a foot age. Now we're at the eye age. Look at this date, 8-22-65. We're at the eye age. Now the next is him, himself to come. See, down through the age, we started off the foundation. From the first church age when the seed went in the ground, the complete seed. Then it come out through the feet, Luther. Come out through Wesley. Into the Pentecostals, the tongues and the lips. Now it's in the eyes. Now do we do away with our feet? I ain't going to. Do we do away with our tongues? Some of us would be better off if we did. Don't get rid of speaking in tongues. Get rid of that one. Speaking in tongues, that never really caused me too much trouble. It's this old tongue right here I was speaking. That's what gets me. Some of y'all despise speaking in tongues. It ain't them speaking in tongues that caused you much trouble anyhow. It's that old flopper in your mouth. Come on. Now watch this. He says, the tongues in the lips. Now it's in the eyes. Prophetic of Malachi 4. Now there's nothing else left for it to come but him himself to step into that. Because that's the last thing there is. Can't you see, friend, why that spirit around this message on so many message people? They don't want to go beyond this. And they get mad as a hornet. That's one reason I'm so hated around the world in this message. Because they think I'm trying to get Brother Branham out of his place. I am not. I'm trying to keep Brother Branham out of the brain's place. I thank God for the eyes, but I ain't going to put the eyes in my brain. I ain't going to put the eyes in the intelligence. The intelligence, Brother Skip, is Christ. Malachi 4 is come and gone. Thank God for it. It is fulfilled. It is history. Oh, glory. And we're still feeding on that word and how we love it. But what's the next step? Himself. Himself to step into this church, to step into you and guide you as what? The mind that was in Christ Jesus. The head of gold only represented a kingdom. Doesn't mention anything about an intelligence. Mentions nothing about a supernatural mind. But notice this, and let me close. The next is the intelligence. And we have no intelligence of our own. It's His. We have no sight of our own. How can a man foresee these things? He can't do it. It's God Himself, see? Becoming to a place, and He's governed the body all the way. Then the complete body of Christ is revealed in the form of a bride that was taken out of His side. So what's going on the earth now? What's happening, Brother Donnie? Where are we? What's going on in this time frame? He's finishing up the body. Thank God for the feet. Thank God for the knees. Thank God for the ankles. Thank God for the tongues. We don't do away with the tongues. We don't do away with the feet. Thank God for them. But the tongues are not the emphasis of this hour. I need my eyes. I need my eyes to see the signs of the times. But I need my intelligence to know how to read them. Praise the Lord. What good would eyes do me to pick up all kinds of books if I don't know how to read? So I don't just need eyes. I need the mind of Christ to know what He wants done with this word. And a lot of folks in the message have come right here and they have stopped and they will go no farther. Because from here up is the third pull. All these can be impersonated. But when it comes to that person of Christ, tongues can be impersonated, lips can be impersonated. I see this, I see that. Oh, my goodness, the farther we go, the more apostles we get, and the more prophets we get, and the more interpretation. I get books all the time from people all around the world, the message, wanting you to see they're the main man. Now they're the messenger, and this is the prophet thing. My Lord, how many of them people are there? How many Malachi 4s are there? Is there Malachi 4, 5, and then a 4, 5, and a half, and a 4, 5, and 3, 8, and a 4, 5, and 5, 8, and a 4, 5, and 7, 16? How many Malachi 4, 5s are there? So if Brother Branham is going to come back, he can't be under the spirit of Elijah. Because the next coming of Elijah is Revelation 11. So if Brother Branham comes back, he won't have an Elijah anointing on him. What kind of man will it be? Ooh. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Notice this. Christ revealed His own word. Paragraph 151, Brother Rob. See, that's the forming of the body from the feet coming up. When He was here on earth, He was the sun, the lightness. Then He was killed. The church took His place. Then martyred and went down through the dark ages and began to build on the foundation coming out. Then where does the sight come from? The top of the head. See that vision? Nebuchadnezzar. See Him going down from the beginning of the Gentile age before the blood was shed for them by the atonement. They were proselytes brought in. But notice when it went right down, right down, right down to the bottom in symbol. Brought it down, then it started right back. Coming right back. Oh, glory. The church come back from the feet. Coming up. Now it's in the head time. Head time. Praise the Lord. Can't you see why the rapture is only, the consummation of the rapture is only a thought away. A thought away for every living mortal that's in the mystical body. Forget your texts and Jesus don't text. Forget your emails, Jesus don't need email. All it takes is the thought of God from the throne of God on that rapture morning. than every person who's living not only here, not here, but every person who's under the influence of the intelligence. That thought projecting from the mind of God, every person on the earth in the intelligence age will receive that same thought. And something will begin to speak to their bodies. Whew. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why I say, friend, folks who believe in the return mission looking for the tent, they cannot believe that. They do not believe that. They believe they've got to walk through a building somewhere and that Brother Brown pray for them. They do not believe in an instant change. They cannot look for Jesus to come tonight at the end of the service. I'm looking for him tonight. I'm looking for him in the morning. And Brother Branham looked for him that way. Brother Branham says the hope of the church in this hour is the coming of the Lord Jesus. So what if every person in here had the same brain? And I would think, raise my left hand, and every one of you would go. And I would think, put it down. Every one of you put it down.
Think about it.
I'd go that, wink my right eye. Everyone, wink your right eye. So supernaturally, God projected by the new birth. Let me say it like this, and souls in prison. Now the mind that was in Christ Jesus is in every believer. There is the soul. So the intelligence, the new birth, the mind of Christ, the quickening power. It's called hundreds of things, but it's really one thing. Steps into every member of the body. And all of a sudden, a sweep comes over them. Like a change. They're used to sweeping. Because they swept out their house and made it clean. Notice Brother Bam didn't say a mop goes over them. Vacuum cleaner goes over them. But a sweep. What did the woman in the parable that Jesus gave whenever she lost some of her money? She got her broom and started sweeping, looking for it. We've all been there. You better learn how to sweep, friend, if you want to leave this world. Think of it. Think of it. For hundreds of years, it moves so slow. Look at the distance. No wonder from here to there, from there, from Pentecost to Brother Branham. Look. He was born right in their age. Born right in their time frame when they was jumping and running. And as a young man, went to their revival. When they were in their peak, he was there. And it just moved from there to here. Now when it moves from here to the intelligence, it's invisible. Now if my eyes were constantly locked that way, and then my lips, my tongue, my lips, and yet my eyes couldn't move. My eyes were just froze. And all of a sudden, my eyes couldn't move. His eyes moved. I saw it. His eyes moved. What if it moved from this up into there? Will I run? Maybe. Will I shout? Am I? Will I jump? Am I? But that ain't the sign that it's moved. Don't you see? From here to here is the most deceiving part that's ever been. All of it from here up was movement. Something going on, movement. You can look at it all. Except right here. Don't you see? Those that are around us, our twin, will be the closest one that's ever been. Brother Ben said, now it's in the eye time, the seeing. There isn't one moving faculty beyond the eye. The next is the intelligence. No moving, motion beyond that. Everything else has moved. Move your feet, move your muscles and your legs, everything. Move your ears, your nose, your lips, and so forth. But after your eyes, there is nothing moves. A lot of folks in the message, they judge their spirituality. How loud their music is, how fast their music is, how much they move, how fast they preach. That don't impress the bride. I love movement too, but that's not tells if you're a bride. Hey friends, I've seen more miracles out there in Pentecost than many of you have ever seen in your lifespan in the message. I've seen folks raising the dead. Absolutely. I've seen cancer heal. Me praying for them. You've heard me tell it years ago. Woman came in a prayer line in Hazard, Kentucky, and I was in a tent meeting. Her son was in a place and his skull was like a mushmelon. Only gave him a few days to live. Possibly hours. I prayed for her that night, not under this message, under Pentecost. Prayed for her that night, she went to see that boy, and the next day his skull had been recreated. Thank God for that. But that, I had it. I had it years ago. I seen it. I seen it, Brother Jim. It wasn't something I read about. I experienced it. I saw it. How come I was still hungering for something? How come I wanted something? But hey, we saw those things. Why did we want more, Harry? Why did we want more? It was the intelligence calling us. Glory to God. Do we believe in those things? Yes, I still believe in them. But why would I want to go back to that and emphasize and say, now that's the bride's message. Well, why didn't that take care of me then? After your eyes, there is nothing that moves. Could that be why sometimes you go to church and you feel like God is 10 million miles away? You pray and you feel nothing. You get prayed for when you're sick and you feel nothing. And you keep journeying and loving God with all of your heart. And you think, God, what in the world is going on? What's the matter, Lord? And the feet all around you's moving and Pentecostals are jumping and are shouting. And the Lutherans have a revival so-called and all the rest of them had revival. And you're just sitting there like a brain supposed to. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I hope I was able to present it in a way where they can make sense of it and understand it. Your ways are so wonderful, so great to us. Yet we love it when you take greatness and break it down and express it in simplicity. Or even us country folks can understand it. Lord God, I pray for your people around the world. I don't just want Happy Valley to be ready. I want all your bride to be ready. Lord, whether the Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, whatever they are, we want them all to be ready, Lord. And we know you cannot change clothes. You cannot walk into your gold until the last name has been cleared. And the brass appearance will leave. And the bride will crown you with your golden crown. Lord, help us, I pray, to be a body on the earth waiting for that final change. Help us that we never become arrogant or proud and look at ourselves and think we're something, that it all hinges on us. The only reason it hinges on the people in this day is because it was your program to do so. Not that we're better, greater, or any of that. The same cells, Lord, that make my eyes, my hair, somehow when I was being formed in my mother's womb, a great intelligence sent cells to my kidneys. To form my kidneys, my spine, my muscles, my bones, all of those different things. So there was an intelligence that sent them here and there and there. We know it was a divine intelligence that also set the parts of the mystical body down through 2,000 years. For Luther and them, they couldn't see what we see, nor could Wesley, nor could Pentecost, nor could many of the people who even embraced this message many years ago because the emphasis had not arrived yet. So Lord, help us. We thank God for the feet, the legs, the thighs, the lungs, all of that. But may we be able to move where the flow of the divine intelligence is. And we know, Lord, that it's been preached to us that, well, when the mind comes, you no longer need the word. Well, we know right there that person ain't got the intelligence of God. Because the intelligence of God will always come back to the Word. It'll never leave the Word. It won't be some far-fetched revelation that'll be off the Word. But your intelligence will always say amen to the Word of God. We thank you for the eyes. We thank you for the ears, the tongues, the lips of Pentecost.
We thank you, Lord, but how we thank you for the intelligence. And if we ever needed divine intelligence, we need it now. I need it, Lord, to pastor this church, to preach to these people, to guide them, to live my everyday life. Lord, I thank you for eyes to guide me. But Lord, the conditions of time have moved beyond much what the eyes saw when he was here. So what am I going to do? I ain't got a quote that says anything against the internet. I ain't got a quote that says against this and that and the other. So am I not to preach against it? I'm to follow the intelligence, and he will anoint the voice of many waters because he's constantly updating. Lord, help us tonight, I pray. If there's one here tonight, Lord, and they've sat around the eyes for years, they know every part of the eyes, every nerve, the color, they know all about it, but that's as far as they've ever went. Help them, Lord. Help them. It's sort of like a person having the baptism of the Holy Ghost on their spirit. When a person becomes justified and they lay aside their drinking, their smoking, boy, there's a real change. When they come into sanctification, there's a real change. When they get a baptism of the Holy Ghost in their spirit, my, they might run, jump, shout, carry on, boy, people see a real change. But if it moves from the spirit over into the realm of their soul, and it becomes not a baptism but a seal, there may not be no jumping, there may not be no shouting at all. That gene is just birthed by the breath of God. Almost invisible, mystical. Oh, they'll have a changed life, they'll be a different person, but there may not be near as much change as what there was in the emotional stage of justification. But moving from the eyes to the intelligence. Help us, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many wants the mind of Christ? Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made of himself of no reputation, took upon him not the form of angels, he says in Hebrews, but the likeness of man. That's what we want. The mind of Christ, intelligence. So when he speaks, the power of God will set down upon this bride in the last day. And it will cause the entire body, as the head in perfection sets on the entire body. Maybe your grandma, your great grandpa, whoever it was, and they were elect. And you tried to tell them about the message and they couldn't see it for nothing. And you worried about them. Don't worry about them. If they walked in all the light, they knew they'll be there. They'll be there, some of you. You know, the most dangerous part, of course, is always the lap over. There's people that fit in those lap overs, and you try to tell them they can't sit to save their life. Don't worry about them. They're walking in the light that God shows them the light. They'll be right there. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. They'll be right there. Why? They are part of the light of their day. They live that light. That's all they need to do. Can you imagine some of your mamas and daddies just sitting in this service tonight? They'd been totally overwhelmed. They would not have understood hardly nothing that was preached. They said, oh Lord, I don't understand. Said, oh, my daddy didn't see it that way. My grandma didn't see it that way. But if she walked in all the light God showed her, she'll be right there. Yes, sir. But she needs you, my brother. She needs us in order to come to that spot that the entire body. Can't you see it from us? Down for 2,000 years will be set in motion once the headstone caps off the bride. Glory to God. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. Let's sing it now. Oh, he's so wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is he. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Oh, come on, let's worship him now. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. We got a sister that's going to be baptized tonight. She should come prepared for that also, Brother Wes. Now remember,
We don't want to move beyond the body and leave everything behind. So when you come to church, you just stand there like this.
Yes, sir.
You've still got lips, I reckon.
Amen.
And you still got a tongue, I reckon. And you still got a mouth. And you still got hands. And Paul in that first church age told them to take them hands and clap them together. Hands that used to handle the things of the world, but they don't know more. And Paul said, lift up them holy hands. Oh, glory. Do you understand? Even in your own body, when you are doing that, you are prophesying of the resurrection. You are telling Luther. You are telling Wesley. You are telling Pentecost. You are going to come forth. Let's sing it together now. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Everybody now. Hallelujah. Let's take your hands. Close your Malachi 4s now. Close your Malachi 4s. Close your eyes. Raise your hands. Take your Pentecostal mouth. Let's just make love to Him now. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we love You so much, Father. Thank You for the body, Lord. Thank You, oh God. Oh, Jesus, how we're so grateful tonight to be a part of what You're doing, Lord. You brought it all these years. Now You brought it from Luther after it went to the Catholic Church. You brought it to the Reformation all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. And here we are, Lord, right at the very last part, right at the very last moment of time. Lord Jesus, may we receive Your mind, God, to know what You want us to do with the Word. Without that, we'll just make one mess after another. We'll have another click and another and another and another. Because without that, the eyes, Lord, the people sitting under this message, they don't know what to do with the Word. They think the Word is this and the Word is that and the Word is something else. Lord God, give us Your mind. Give us Your mind. Lead us, Lord Jesus, that we'll know what You want done with Your Word. You want it lived. You want it expressed. You want it preached. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. We love You, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. May there be a people on this hillside that the headstone can set down upon us, Lord. Oh, grant it, dear God, make my life that way, Lord. Make the lives of these people, Father. Lord, that we can get beyond ourselves, our own opinions, our ideas of what we think is important, Lord. Take the preeminent position in our lives. Number one, Lord Jesus. We don't want You to be number four, number five, number 14, number 15. But be number one, Lord. Be number one, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord. The Lord of all, the kingdoms of my heart. Everybody now, oh Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender. The kingdoms are take them at it now. He won't take them. You got to give them. Sing it to him. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the kingdoms of my heart.
She asked me to help Brother Wes baptize her, and it's an honor for me to do this. And she's my firstborn daughter. I love her with all my heart, and she's a real Christian, and I appreciate her so much.
I talked to Susanna after she made this decision, and she was baptized when she was younger, but you know, now she can say that she came to our Lord as a child, both when she was a child and when she was an adult. Let's just pray with her.
Yes.
Father, as we lay hands on our sister now, and we enter into the water with her, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We ask, Lord, that when the weight of the separation from this world comes, Lord, and she feels the weight of that cross on her shoulder, Lord, that you remind her that it wasn't her parents that made this decision for her.
Yeah.
It wasn't some kind of peer pressure, but it was her choice as an adult, Lord, that she chose to not only make you
Thank you, Lord. You
her Savior, but her Lord.
Yeah.
And when Satan tries to come and hold her decisions over her, Lord, she can say, I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I came to my Lord
Amen.
Willingly.
Thank you, Lord.
And she can
Amen.
Stand for you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, now we ask that she goes out, Lord, we ask that you fill her with your Holy Ghost. Lord, we ask that you empower her to walk and be led by your Spirit. We ask that you shine the light of your wisdom and your grace and your mercy on every step that she takes as she walks through this life, Lord. And that you endue her with power on high and any will that you have for her life, Lord Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Susanna, I baptize you now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Rob, let's sing It's My Desire. It's there on your screen, about the fourth one above. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. What's your desire tonight, friends? What's your deepest desire of your soul? What do you want for you more than you want anything else? You tell me what that is, I'll tell you if you got the Holy Ghost or not. It's very simple. You cannot act that. You cannot pretend like it's there. It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. Though often where Jesus brought me from and where I am today, you know the reason why I love Him so. You can make this world Jesus brought me from. Oh, you remember where I am today? Your glory and why I love Him so. Now you can take Laodicea's wealth and all the Catholic Church riches. Jesus. Oh, glory. Listen to them words now. Let's go real slow. If you could see where Jesus brought me from and where I am today, you'd know the reason why. I love Him so. You can take Laodicea and all her riches. I don't want the church world's fame. It's my desire. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship You, Lord God. We worship You, Lord God. We bless Your name, Father. Hallelujah, 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 Lord God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. We adore You tonight, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory. Hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing. God bless you, saints. See you in the morning. Oh, what singing.